Blog Talk Radio.
Can I just turn this a damn? This is what I am, what I am. Understand, I don't give a damn. This is who I am, who I am. Man, I don't give a damn. This is what I am, what I am. And I just don't give a damn. Take me as I am, as I am. And my G's still pumping. Sold on the culture, you know that my doja culture. Game over, soldier, I'm cooling. Be on the sofa.
You are listening live.
We'll do it live!
Of course, unless you're not listening live. This is the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast Cast. It is Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. I'm your host, Travis Bryant, and joining me, per usual, is co-host extraordinaire, Cameron Hawkins. Cam, welcome to the show.
How's it going, man?
It's going. How's everything with you?
Doing okay.
Good. A decent amount to talk about. Let me go ahead and give out all the pertinent contact information first. If you want to chime in and have your voice heard on this show, there are two ways of going about that. First way, you can hit us up on the Constellation Lines. Give us a call, and we will talk to you live on air on this show. So hit us up on the Constellation Lines at 347-202-0103. Once again, that's 347-202-0103. If you want to have your voice heard but can't call us live, you can always drop us an email. Voicemail line gives you 3 unadulterated minutes to ask any question, pose any comments, or whatever you got for us. You got 3 minutes in the voicemail to do it. Hit the voicemail line at 415-787-5229. Once again, the voicemail line is 415-787-5229. You can always drop us an email anytime during the week, anytime during the show. The mailbag is always open and constantly being refreshed. Hit the email up at eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. Once again, that's eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. Find the show at East Coast Cast, twitter.com/EastCoastCast. And you can find my personal Twitter at TravLord. And you can find Cam at Seahawk. That's C-E-E, Hawk. And the last bastion of Get Adage, find us on Facebook. The Facebook fan page can be found at facebook.com/PWTorch, East Coast Cast. Interact with us there. Interact with other Leños and Leñas alike over there. Again, facebook.com/PWTorch East Coast Cast, or just search East Coast Cast or PW Torch. You'll see us amongst the family of PW Torch fan pages. So share us on your timeline, tag your wrestling buddies in it. Y'all know how it works. So Cam, yeah, where are we going to start this week? What's the story that's burning to get talked about in the at the top of the show?
Kind of what started on Monday, and then what's happening tonight with Rhea Ripley showing up on Raw to basically, you know, pre-challenge Charlotte at WrestleMania for the NXT Women's title. Something that we talked about last week, something that's been speculated, something that seems to make sense, you know, with Charlotte having such a history with especially Becky and to a smaller extent of Bayley, it makes sense to kind of do something different and a way to elevate, you know, the NXT TV show if we're to believe that these things are, you know, considered on similar ground. So, Rhea shows up to basically, you know, pre-challenge Charlotte, provided she beats Bianca Belair. And Charlotte is supposed to show up tonight on NXT to respond to that pre-challenge.
Yeah, this was when we talked a little bit about it last week, and I'm not a fan of the idea, and I'm even less of a fan if Charlotte, the presumed heel in this pairing, would go out and challenge, the hot up and coming without a star. And that's not always great when you, with the heel babyface dynamic, having the heel go out there and challenge. So I like that they got that part right, at least in my mind, having Bria show up and go, yeah, you ain't beat me. Instead of the veteran Charlotte, who's been everywhere and done everything, saying, I'm going to go down there and take her time. So I like how it was presented, at least. And Charlotte not giving an answer, a definitive answer, going, just walking away, this is beneath me. Maybe we'll have an attack or something tonight if Charlotte shows up on NXT.
Yeah. But I think something advertised for her to show up and respond. So
So maybe we'll get something. Bobby, we definitely will.
I think that's the kind of the biggest story there. You know, underneath that, I would put Ciampa and Cole signed for the NXT title match at TakeOver. I think that's kind of the next thing, because we still don't have kind of a definitive Universal title match on the SmackDown side, even though you had Reigns and the Usos seemingly closed the door on this Corbin thing. And you also had Naomi and Bayley interact, which leads you to believe that that's going to be a WrestleMania match. So we also kind of talked about that last week. So seems to be the route that's going. But, yeah, I'd say Ciampa and Cole would be my next thing. And then at Super Showdown, you know, we talked about Ricochet maybe not getting the credit for what he did to help eliminate Brock at the Royal Rumble, but now you get Ricochet, Brock Lesnar at Super Showdown at the end of this month for the WWE title.
Boy.
It's a shame I don't get to see that match, because I'd really like to see it, you know?
I'm not sure I do want to see that. Do you think Ricochet is going to get the Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, I think
treatment?
Nothing else. Like,
or did they get the Kofi Kingston in Japan treatment?
No. I think this is very much in line with Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Finn Balor. I really do think so. Now, if he doesn't, you expect a hell of a calling from Bruce. I think that this goes along with that formula. You know, if you've listened to this show, you know, and Travis, you may have changed your stance on this, and it's certainly no judgment on my part, but, you know, I don't watch the Saudi shows. We all have our limits and checks and balances, so I really won't see it, but, you know, hopefully it's a good look for Ricochet, you know, who can do the things that AJ and Daniel Bryan and Finn Balor can do, some of the things he does better, some of the things not as good, but I think that knowing what Brock's capable of, that can be really, really good.
It could be, but considering how they got to the match, two Raws in a row, I thought, oh, maybe this week they'll show and give, because Ricochet is in the match, just to give that match. I didn't think Ricochet would win the Triple Threat main event on Raw to get the title shot.
I thought it would fail the last game. I did.
I thought it, yeah. Maybe they want to do that on like a bigger, more seen pay-per-view, because that's something that I think they could do some little bit of business with. But with Ricochet, I thought just to give that match some juice, or just to give Ricochet some juice in that match and give him some credibility, you since you're 8 days out from the Rumble, now you put over that he gave Drew McIntyre a little bit of an assist, which was also a receipt to Brock from the week before. From the week before. Nope, they're still showing in the video package. They're editing Ricochet's part out of the video package, and then they have him win the match to immediately no music. His music doesn't even get to play. Brock just comes out. You know,
Brock, I feel like Brock can still run a sub 540, which is ridiculous. Because he flew down that ramp to get the
ring shot. Yeah, cameraman had to.
I wonder if, I understand exactly where you're coming from, but maybe that's the focal point of the conversation between them for the next 2 or 3 weeks before the match.
I guess, but I mean, now if you have Brock go, oh yeah, I did that because you kicked me in the nuts and got me eliminated in the Rumble. And I'm gonna beat you up in Saudi. I suppose, yeah. And I guess, you know, that makes some logical sense. But I just don't get the positioning of your superstars in that sense. Like, why would you bury Rick? I hesitate to use that word, but in a sense, they buried Ricochet for 8 days after the Rumble, as far as not showing his part. And if you're going to go do something, it just makes it more unexplainable. Oh, they're going into a Ricochet Brock program, but they haven't even focused on the thing that they're having the fucking feud over, or that's a major part of it. So, I don't expect much when I hear the results in the reporting of that match in Saudi. I don't expect. We got 12 minutes, you know, we got 12 minutes of Brock and Ricochet, and it was, you know, that classic, that thing we get when we, with the three matches that we talk about. I don't think we get anywhere close to that. I think Brock goes in there, does his business, and gets out of there. Like, it's closer to Japan than any of those other three matches.
You know, you have Randy Orton come out to explain what he did to Edge, and in classic Randy Orton fashion, ends up doing nothing.
I turned the show on like 12 or 15 minutes after 7, and Orton was putting the mic down and leaving. So I was like, ah, fuck, I missed his whole thing. But the way the announcers, it was just like you. They're like, oh, he didn't even say anything. And I was like, but it's 12 minutes into the show. Like, it seems like he would have just been finished cutting a long 8-10 minute kind of thing, and you're telling me that he didn't say anything that whole time?
Yeah.
Orton? So what did he do? Stand in the ring for 10 minutes and just get booed?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it ended up not being a thing.
I was waiting for a replay throughout the 3 hours. I was like, oh, they'll replay it, and I don't think I saw one.
Yeah, no. That's, yeah. I mean, the replay would have been, yeah, I think so short they wouldn't be able to put graphics on the front and back of it. But, you know, if Edge is not going to be a full-time wrestler. Edge is going to have select dates, you know, during the year, and is going to stay in shape between those dates. And so, you know, this being a thing you drag out, especially if it's to get a WrestleMania match, this is how you start it. You know, WrestleMania is in 2 months, so that's, you know, what, five, six shows between now and then, so you gotta make those appearances count. Outside of that, you know, it looks like Becky is, somebody explained it really great in that, you know, she even called herself Becky Balboa. If you look at the progression from Rocky 1 to Rocky 3, it's down on his luck, doesn't belong there guy, to, wow, I almost made it, I really belong guy, to, wow, I'm the world champ and I'm resting on my laurels. Becky's kind of conquered everybody in front of her, so she seems to be maybe not cocky, but you know, she's beaten everybody that she needed to beat to solidify her spot, and so, you know, now does she get a little complacent? Now is she going to be easier to catch? And I think they kind of did a good job selling that with the jacket last week and the glasses this week. So that's a fun story to kind of follow. And then especially right now when there is no clear-cut contender for her, you know. People speculate Ronda. You know, we speculate Shayna. So we'll have to see exactly what comes from that. You know, outside of that.
Wow, if they only had Shayna Baszler, I don't know, win the Royal Rumble and have a
point. Would have made sense. You could have found other things to do.
For Becky, and then you still have Charlotte and Rhea, and you could still do whatever they're going to do with Bayley.
I think that Raw's your biggest show. Becky's your biggest star. I think that you can really look at it one of two ways. The Royal Rumble's definitely the biggest event, but like, let's say that they do an elimination chamber, a women's singles elimination chamber, and Shayna blitzes everybody through that, then I think it still counts the same way as winning a Rumble. You know, we definitely didn't go into the Kofi thing thinking, wow, this would have been better if he won the Rumble. You know what I mean? We appreciated it for what it was because of what it signaled, even though they took a different way to get there. So I think that can still work.
Right, but Kofi isn't like this, you know, smash mouth.
Yeah, super force of nature run through everybody. Absolutely.
Money stitched into, you know, just branded on his ass kind of personality and wrestler. So it's a little bit different, but I still see, your point. You can get into something and don't have to necessarily
AEW side, like, they're getting closer to their pay-per-view. They had Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz beat Private Party and Darby Allin in the main event. They, you know, this thing with Cody and the Butcher and the Blade and MJF, they had the Bucks beat the Butcher and the Blade, but then MJF, like, hired them to beat them up after the match. So that's a thing. Cody Rhodes and Kip Sabian, I feel like certain guys need more promo time, especially when you wrestle Cody. You know, it should feel like a big deal. And then the Dark Order's after Christopher Daniels. So, that show's solid on their end. I'm still not into it as I am the other things. I think they're solid on their end as far as what they get into. So.
Some people say the Kip, is it him, Kip, and his Penelope? Are they together?
Him and Joey Janela, yeah.
And that people say that to you. Like, I'm not a fan of Joey Janela by any stretch. Like, me and Rich had a whole nother, like, big stupid argument over it last week or the week before.
On a Twitter.
But, like, I'm hearing, well, no, on the VIP, just, you know,
okay.
So, 5 minutes. But, yeah, still stupid. But, people are like, I really like hitting that feud is connecting with people and resonating on some level. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm not a fan. I'm not watching the feud itself, but it's like, I wouldn't care if that guy's in it. So fuck anything he's in, because he shouldn't be on anybody's national TV. But it's like, once you hear, like, well, no, people are legit digging it and enjoying the story that they're telling. Okay, well, I guess. And it's a real kind of storyline. They're playing off of real shit with the relationship, with the love, bit of a love triangle that actually played out in real life.
Yeah, I guess. I don't. That stuff I'm not fans of, but okay. You know, it's worked before.
What the reality is, or like as a
romantic
as a
relationship.
General kind of thing.
Like, I feel like everybody has to be very professional all the time with a thing like that. I don't trust everybody to be that just because of how people work, you know, so, but it can work. I understand that. Outside of that, I mean, you have, you know, Killer Cross and Tim Thatcher getting signed by WWE. So they're at the Performance Center now. You have what is Aja's last name?
William? I don't know. I just saw the damn tweet.
Yeah. Let's see. Aja
Smith?
Yeah. So she signed to NXT, but she tried out as a ref for reasons. You know, and I feel like she's good enough to wrestle wherever, but it's, you know, I feel like there is, like, probably security in that position, and she wants to wrestle eventually, may get that shot. So, you know, good on her for securing.
Oh, she signed to ref.
Yeah. So good on her.
Well, they had the one woman ref that they had in the one that we saw all the time in NXT. I think she got moved up to the main roster. I haven't, because they made a big deal out of it on one, like, post NXT. Ciampa, like, did a whole, like, goodbye tour. but maybe it's because I haven't been watching, I haven't seen her on the main roster yet, but maybe they just, for NXT, they're like, okay, well, we got to replenish that spot.
See, I mean, outside of that, I can't really think of anything jumping off the page. We seem to have covered all the things really going on right now.
Yeah, I'm back to watching TV again, but I still can't bring myself to watch SmackDown. And I think that's a really nice slot, man.
This is what we didn't talk about. As soon as you say that, right, Travis? Braun Strowman is the Intercontinental Champion. Got through Nakamura, thwarted off Sammy's attempt to undo the turnbuckle by throwing Nakamura into it and power slamming him. So, I mean, you figure it to be a nice long title run for Braun, maybe to see if they ever are going to really put the world title on him. I still don't like that Intercontinental title belt. I'm not going to get used to it. And it's their fault because not only you changed the belt and then you went back to the best belt, but now you want me to go to another belt. Like, I guess. Okay. Braun's champion. And so, you know, you figure that might be a long thing. But yeah, Travis, the 7 o'clock Friday night, it's just a big world. Both inside and outside, there's so many things you can be doing. And it's just like, I don't want to watch wrestling right now unless it's called on. But, yeah, that's a results and a rewatch thing, at least at this point.
Did you rewatch it? Or did you go back and watch Saturday morning or Saturday night?
No.
No. So you lying. That's what you say.
All right, let's I don't have I thought Raw this week was a solid show. It's amazing that they're still doing the Liz, the Bobby Lashley Lana and now Liv Morgan stuff. It's amazing that I stopped watching in whatever October, November. And that was like a big major thing, and that's still going on. And to hear the announcer tell Lashley, your wife, Lana, blah, 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 and then him go, yeah, my wife, Lana, this, that, and the third. This is weird. This is so pro-wrestling. Right? If it's Miz doesn't talk about Maurice, he just says Maurice. Does he go, my wife, every time he acknowledging her? Triple H to Stephanie, anybody that's married, it's like, no, of course they phony up the.
Yeah, right. Like they stuck with it. It didn't just disappear. Like, I don't know if you saw them just congratulate Mike and Maria for having their baby, and it's like, guys, yeah.
Why? Because of what they did to him on TV? Are you saying?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Kind of weird hypocrisy.
You really look at what they did
weird.
To on TV. Like, you carried it out to be so stupid, and it's like, oh, no, this thing just happened.
Is Shotzi Blackheart's, is her little tank battery-powered, or do you think she's like
probably a Power Wheels. You know, it's weird to think about, Travis, but, like, Power Wheels were, what, 30 years ago?
Power wheels.
Yeah, so we knew how those work. So I'm sure this thing is like an electric thing that just has, you know, it's an electric seat. It's a damn Roomba that has a shell tanking on it. You know what I mean? Like.
Nah, I think she's G enough. She built that shit out of John Deere. She's like, nah, I got to fill this bitch up.
Yeah, right?
Charge. I ain't taking no charge. I'm running to the damn Chevron station. Anything more on NXT from last week or AEW specifically?
Not really.
Well,
I mean, NXT-wise, you did have Riddle and Riddle and Dunn beat the Grizzled Young Vets to get a tag title shot. And, you know, they've been, if you look at all the winners, not all the winners, but a majority of the winners of the Dusty Classic, it's been makeshift tag teams. Like, that's almost – a necessity at this point to win the thing. But yeah, it's going to be all in on them as a team. They're admittedly short on American tag teams right now in NXT. So, you know, hopefully, well, I should say American tag teams. I should say tag teams on NXT as opposed to NXT UK. And so they might have a long babyface run as a team. Like, they don't seem to be in a rush to move Riddle up to the main roster. Really not a reason to right now. I don't know if Keith Lee is in a super rush to move up to the main roster or if that's something they do later in the year because, you know, he's all of a sudden North American champ. You know, he can run with that for a while. He's got a lot of – every matchup with him feels like a fresh matchup because he can wrestle everybody and do something different with them. So maybe they run that for a while. But, Riddle and Dunn are all of a sudden the top face tag team, you know, on the brand.
Anything on the Riddle and Brock confrontation at the Rumble?
Not really. Like, you know, Brock's like, this thing ain't going to happen. I feel like by the time Riddle's up and ready to go, because Brock doesn't wrestle guys who have been on the main roster for, you know, less than 3-4 years. Ricochet being the exception, but it's been like a year for Ricochet. And it's at like kind of an off brand show. But by the time Riddle is seasoned and ready to go, Brock could have changed his mind or Brock could be gone.
Or be done. Like, that's always been my even when Riddle was when Riddle was just still kind of evolved, you know. Head of Loose NXT when he was big. First, let's say when he first got to NXT, and he was like, he's talking all this big shit for a year, and on the indies, I'm going to retire Brock. And I was just like, just thinking what you're line of thinking, like, timing wise, like, how are you going to make that work? Like, you got to become a star in that universe before you think about getting a match with Brock, let alone one that would put him out, that would retire him. I my thing is just why does Brock have to be such a piece of shit about it? But it's like, well, that's Brock Lesnar, and he's not the most humble.
Yeah, and I mean, being
respectful person.
Yeah, being fair, like as much as we've talked about some of these matchups, beating Brock Lesnar didn't make Seth Rollins. So. I don't know how big of a favor, other than maybe it increased payday, for a little bit. I don't know what it would do for Riddle or anybody else. Like, as good as Brock is, and Brock, we're going to look back on his career different than anybody else's because we're really talking about, what, a year and a half for his first run, right? And then 6 years for his second run, but those runs are 10 years, 11 years apart. And the second run has one of the strangest schedules you've ever seen. You know, like, when it's all said and done, when we try to evaluate Brock Lesnar's career outside of money, it's going to be really interesting. But, you know, Brock beating The Rock at SummerSlam that year, what it did for him, at this point, with the way things are with his schedule, with how much in the forefront he is, I don't think beating him does that for anybody. So while it would be probably a really fun matchup to see, Riddle shouldn't necessarily look at that as the apex of his wrestling career because I don't see what it's going to build him.
Well, I mean, you said the payday, so that's obvious. But I think just having that on your, people just being able to say, I beat X wrestler, X fighter, X MMA guy. It's always, no matter if it gets you a title shot or not, you know, you want that on your.
It's a story thing, but I mean.
You want that on your legacy. You want people.
Sure. That's the thing. For a personal reason, I absolutely understand. Like, it's a cool thing to have. And I'm certainly not one to argue with one's aspirations. It's just, you know, in the long run, like, that's not going to put, you know, one more cup of pudding in his kid's mouth. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know.
Well, it would if you said it. The payday is pretty
I think it's, but I think it's a one-time payday thing, and then the way they're scaled, it's nothing crazy. He's not going to get, you know, 200,000 a fight.
Right, it's not like Ricochet.
It's a cool bump.
Like Ricochet is like not, you know, Birdman rubbing his hands together because he's about to get $250,000 for his Saudi man. No, he's getting his, he's getting what he would get for making the date. Whatever his, you know, downside is, and however it averages out per date, that's what he's getting.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, and that says more about the WWE structure and how they
absolutely. And that's really what I'm more criticizing. Not Brock. Like, it's just, it's not set up in the way it was, you know, I don't know, let's just say WCW way back in the day, like getting in the ring with Hogan. Like, I feel like that probably did pay off a car for Billy Kidman. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's different.
All right, let's talk to some folks.
347-202-0103. That's how you get yourself in line. Let's head up to Brooklyn and talk to Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Another Wednesday there, you know. Just listening to the beautiful conversation. Listening to y'all conversation and y'all talk first before I forget two things. First one, I was looking at the guys that made the Dark Side of the Ring live last week on Instagram, and they named three episodes so far. They're going 10 this year, and they're waiting for Iceland to give them a date. The three episodes so far that I know of is the Dino Bravo, you know, story, the murder story. You got Owen Hart story with new interviews, you know, from Dr. Martha Hart, which is, you know, Owen's wife. And the third one, the mass transit story with new interviews that with New Jack. So.
I think when you do good work, when you do good work, I guess they really give you the opportunity to be out there, because those are three big stories. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
he didn't give too much up, but
get certain people on a record or something like that. I guess.
Right.
You
nah, you got.
He's not gonna
yeah, he got New Jack on record. That's
right.
What they said. They got new.
Yeah.
They got interviews.
You got
but
a little bit of clout now. New Jack goes, all right, I'll do that. That's not just some fly by night shoot tape that's trying to, you know, make bucks on the internet.
They said, well, they did give out, you know, that one of the episodes is going to be a two-parter. So
did they say which one?
Yeah, one of them is going to be a two-part episode. So
no,
they
which
can
one?
Get.
Do you know Bravo?
Huh?
Or?
Nah, they didn't give that away. They said they don't want to give away too much. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want to give out, you know, too much. So.
You think the Vancouver the Canadian mob scene just isn't what it used to be? I mean, even 30 years later, you can't do Dino Bravo's episode without talking about his mob ties and all that kind of shit.
Oh no, that's the main basis of the story, how he got
right.
Gunned down.
So how do you go about doing the damn
whole house?
Mob story. I that's what I'm saying. It must just, you know, all those people must know.
I mean,
cares.
I don't know if he's alive, but nine times out of ten, if he is, they probably got, you know, the cat, the other cat that was supposed to have been involved that wrestled, a dude by the name of Gino Brito. Because they were all supposed to be, you know, like running together, and the mob leader was supposed to be Dino's uncle, so like that's gonna be real, you know, compelling to watch. And also, AEW at the International Toy Fair is gonna debut their first line of action figures.
Oh, sweet. So, who's doing them?
Wicked Cool Toy with a collaboration of I forget is Jerseys or Jeep, the pretty much the people that makes the Fortnite action figures and that made that expensive-ass Travis Scott action figure. That's like $1,000 on StockX.
Oh, sure.
Who the fuck is Travis Scott to be having $1,000 toy?
Exactly. He's like...
Yeah, like as soon as you said that, Mike, I'm like, wow, like these are going to be probably really detailed. Like...
Absolutely.
Their toys...
Like,
that's what
I'm
going to
say...
Like, their toys are going to be for the same people who collect Funko Pops. Like, different aesthetic, but, like, I need to have these, not to play with, but to have in a box.
It better say, all right, and it better, whatever, all his ad libs. I want you to squeeze the abdomen. It's lit. All right.
Oh, man.
You know, $1,000 for action figure.
Kidding me.
Yeah, but
Travis Scott.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, yeah, this rare, like, 1988 Ric Flair from Jack Specific or Hasbro or whatever the fuck.
No.
Brand new one that we just made 3 fucking weeks ago of this, you know.
Right.
You know,
so, yeah.
Star rapper, but, you know.
Like I said, the company that makes Fortnite, they make other toys, but, you know, Fortnite is the biggest, which was, like, the top-selling fucking, boys toy action figure probably for about the past couple years now, because from what I heard, you know, I was doing a little research on the company. Fortnite has made shit about $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and also, you know, my youngest son, that's what he pretty much was into this Christmas, and he got a few of those with the vehicles, and those are pretty sweet. So I'm quite sure they're gonna put, like you said, a lot of detail and articulation, you know, into the AEW guys, and they'll probably be, you know, within the scale of the Mattel, you know, like the Mattel figures and all that shit. So you could, you know. So yeah, they moving in the upward trend. So I mean, we will see tonight.
Yeah.
We will see tonight, and also, I mean, tonight should be a pretty good show. They got They got a 8-man tag, Butcher Blade, with the Lucha Brothers against Hangman, Omega in the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Cody gets his 10 lashes tonight from this guy. We got Moxley and from MJF.
Yeah, MJF.
Yeah, he gets the 10 lashes tonight from MJF. You got Moxley versus Ortiz tonight, so it should be a pretty decent show. Just like I felt Raw was a pretty, you know what I mean, pretty good show. Like, I like where they're going with Raw. It's like Paul Lee is really trying to, you know, differentiate Raw from SmackDown, give these younger guys, you know, that extra push. And to me, I would like to see Angel Garza, Andrade and Alberto Carrillo in like a new offshooter, like maybe like Los Gringos Locos. I think they could pull it off with Andrade.
You know, I was
wondering
why, you know, they had him lose the Cruiserweight title so abruptly. I guess they saw the Andrade thing coming and you know, wanted
they
to kind of fill that void. And then I didn't even talk about Ruby Riott being back. Good on her. I think that in the most complimentary way possible, I think she's the new Natalya, in that if you need a solid women's match, or you need somebody to carry about a women's match, or you need like one of your top acts to have a really good 15-20 minute match, Ruby Riott can do that with them. Like,
right.
She's really that solid. I don't know where you know, Riott Squad would have been without her. Sarah Logan's still not anywhere, but I think that she definitely helped them kind of through that early period. So good on her being back. I look forward to watching her as well.
Right. I mean, I also
did you like,
you know that. Huh?
Did y'all fuck with the turn? I thought it was kind of corny. And, you know,
I didn't like how it was.
I mean, the turn was whack. I mean, it was cliche, WWE turn. But as far as in-ring, I think, you know, with her and Liv being friends, and apparently, you know, Liv is probably a Paul Heyman project on the female side to be like that next proper female, which I think, you know, she can go. She's gotten better. You know what I mean? Now she got a better dancing partner that can help even elevate her and get her better, you know, get her ready more for, you know what I mean? I would say by next year, you know, for, you know, to be a challenger. I don't know if she will win the title soon, but, you know, to be a challenger for Becky or Shayna Baszler, you know what I mean? Just to somebody to stand across from her. I mean, and also, like, I mean, I love what they're doing with Drew. It's just organic, like, week by week. And he was just like, hold on for a second. Mojo,
yeah,
I ain't forget about
Mojo like that, though. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He's a clown.
I'm not even saying the actual having him out there, but to have Drew be like, I forgot about you. It's just that extra shit that's like, it's just unnecessary. Like, if he's a guy that's so forgettable and that people will go, shit, Mojo, I forgot he's there. Fire. He shouldn't be on your fucking roster.
Yeah, he need to go somewhere else. I would like to see a Mojo in New Japan for a while. He probably, you know, that'll probably manifest him a little better. I mean, it's like, across the board, I can watch Raw. Raw is like, it's not a chore to watch. Like, I say from mid-December for me. Remember, we used to talk about Snooze Fest. Raw hasn't been a chore for me to watch. NWA Power, that's a good one-hour show every week. I like AEW Dark, of course, AEW and NXT, MLW. Like, the one show that I can't see, and I agree with Cam, is that who the hell, unless it's, you know, 16 degrees or 20 degrees, who the hell is going to sit in the house and watch a SmackDown on a Friday?
Different.
I just was like, man.
But that's what I'm saying. Inside or out, it's just like, you could be entertaining people. You can just, there's going to be something
right
on. There's movies. Like, Friday night just doesn't feel like, it's very rarely just a live show night for any show that you watch, because so few of them come on. It's a great night to catch up on other stuff. You'll find something random. It's just like, it's not appointment TV on a Friday night. It's really not.
It's not. And to me, with SmackDown, it just seemed like everything is just clear cut. Like, it's, I don't know if it's the Bruce Pritchard style of booking, if he still got the 1980s WWE philosophy, but it's like, is almost clear cut with SmackDown. You can see, you know, where everything is going. Miz and Morrison, New Day, and probably the Usos in the triple threat. You know, Roman versus Fiend. You probably got Goldberg versus King Corbin, and then he'll get jumped and bring Sting and Undertaker with him to WrestleMania. And you know what I mean? Like, it's almost, you know,
Corbin and crew, you gotta be kidding me. If you think Goldberg's gonna recruit DDP or whoever, but not DDP, Sting and whoever
he
else.
He might fight him at what's that, Clown Fools or whatever that bullshit they call
it. Yeah, if I think Goldberg, it seems like that's what Goldberg's coming back for.
Right.
I don't
and
know
I
if
like
he's Goldberg Roman
that, show,
that close to a WrestleMania with that match still as a possibility. But I mean, maybe you do, hell. But yeah, I could see Corbin being in that spot. The New Day already has a tag title match. Would love for it to be Biggie and Goldberg. But yeah.
Yeah, I see Corbin getting his ass kicked at in Saudi, and then they probably try to jump Goldberg or some shit, and Goldberg brings Sting and fucking Undertaker with him to WrestleMania just to have that moment. These three legends would probably be the, you know, the last, you know, go around. And if like, what I was thinking, like, you know, suppose he does make it from the shoulder injury, where do they place AJ on a WrestleMania card? Like, what do you guys think? Do you think they finally convince Shawn Michaels or pay him enough money to come back and, you know, salvage that atrocity that they did last time? or they do Undisputed Era versus the old three at WrestleMania. Like, what do you think they go with that?
You could have AJ win Money in the Bank and walk around with that thing and with the OC protecting him for the next 6 months.
Yeah, no, I'm saying for Mania.
Yeah, but at Mania.
That's right. They don't have. Like 3 years.
You thought that was going to be. You know, it looked like that was going to be Orton, even before they had that promo. But I think Edge is a much better fit there.
Right.
You know what I really think you do, though? AJ, Aleister Black. I think that's your Mania match.
That's a rough match, but it's like, do you put Aleister over AJ?
If you look at, gosh, I'm going to try to look it up real quick, but AJ's had a really, really, really good win-loss record in WWE. Of course, when the losses
right.
aren't real, but he's, he is.
And as far as Mania.
Yeah, like 220 and 165. He's up there.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. Like I think AJ is now one of those guys who can take a loss and get it back right away. Like, he lost the U.S. title, and it didn't matter because AJ was right up there with a Randy Orton in a program, you know, before he had to take a little bit of time off, you know, for injury. Like, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think that, yeah, as champion solidified him. And also, his Mania record ain't that bad either. Shit, I think he won 3-1. Like, he's won his last three Mania matches. He's won his last two, Shane McMahon, Shinsuke, and Orton. So
I think you could build to that for a month or 6 weeks. Like, all it takes is, you know, him picking a fight with a Carl Anderson and then him fighting a Luke Gallows, and then all of a sudden it's him and AJ. Like, I think that's a really, really good one-on-one match. Because I think you have Seth and his guys in some type of four-way match. Like, maybe they go with Undisputed Era. That'd be a banger.
No, I see, for some reason, I see Seth and Buddy against Joe and Owen.
Two on two for the Raw Tag titles?
Yeah, for the Raw Tag titles.
I see that
being a showcase match, and probably the Viking, whatever the fuck their name is this week, the Viking Warriors and the Ronin Warriors versus in AOP on a fucking pre-show or some shit. Like, because if you notice, it seemed like they kind of clearly, like, setting up Razor for, like, maybe, like, a singles run down the line.
A solo run, yeah, because he had a very strong showing on Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, how it looked like they kind of, like, setting him up, like, and I think he would be, that would be, make sense as, like, a contender, you know, like, per se, Drew wins the, you know, the title. From Brock at Mania, I could see that being him being a contender or a good mini feud before they go somewhere big. And one other thing I want to ask both of you guys, do y'all see it or do y'all think it's happening because they mentioned it, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar?
After Mania?
Yeah,
somewhere after Mania, down the line.
I think that's a really good SummerSlam match if you can hold out that long. Like, there's no reason not to do that.
They got to repair
Lashley,
though.
Which side?
They got to what?
They got to repair Lashley. To me,
if you
won't go that route, I wouldn't have Lana with him. Put fucking Leo Rush back with him. They got to repair him. I mean, cut down the Lashley shit, but put Leo Rush, I think... Leo Rush could cut some interesting promos against Paul Heyman. You know what I mean? If that's where they go. Like, because to me, they need to get Brock out of that type of situation. Like, I could stomach him versus Lashley as just a attraction match at SummerSlam and not for no fucking title or something.
Yeah.
You know, by SummerSlam, give me Drew versus AJ or Drew versus, you know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah, I think you got to go strong. You got to, like, really have him roll through guys in the summer. I think that's a very good SummerSlam match. I'd they got to do it before it's too late to do it, and it keeps almost being
right.
too late to do it.
Right, before it loses, you know, before the peak dies.
Mm-hmm.
And see, coming out of Mania, like, this is what I'm saying. I could see Joe and because, you know, they probably got more in store for Seth and Buddy probably with singles title runs and shit like that. So I could see Joe and Owens getting the tag titles at Mania and then having, you know, put them in a feud with that new Latin faction with Andrade and, you know, Rio and the other guy, if they get, you know, Rio on that side, but with Andrade and Garza, like, because I think
yeah.
those two together, I think they could do some, I think they could pull some shit off, Garza and Andrade. Both of them got charisma. Andrade, he just can't talk English well, but both of them got some, you know what I mean? Both of them got some. And those two together, like I said, they could potentially remind me of Eddie Guerrero and R-Bart. For real. That's all I got tonight, fellas. You know,
appreciate you, Mike.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not a giant fan of either Garza or Andrade. I mean, they're okay.
I like Andrade more than Garza. People seem to be really high on Garza. I'm not there yet, but I'm very high on Andrade. I do think he's that good.
Yeah, I think he's a fine wrestler, and I don't find any, you know, faults in his style of, you know, his in-ring work. I just, yeah, like the extra, it's just, yeah, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't do it. I like the act. I like his act with it's probably the pushing, the start-stop stuff that hasn't been great in the 2 years or so he's been on the roster. They've been hot and cold on him. Inexplicably sometimes, just big wins followed by unexplainable losses. And Garza, I just haven't had enough time to see him. He's so far pretty one-note heel until they, for one show, turn him babyface, have him propose to his girlfriend, and then forget all about that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Humberto, the guy that had him feuding with this week, you know, I'm digging him more the more I see him. Like,
you know, Angel Garza had probably a top three reaction at Worlds Collide. You know, I do think that's aided by, like, you're in Texas, number one, so you're going to get a strong,
mm-hmm.
like, segment of the Hispanic population there. But, yeah, he had a great reaction. I do like his look. People, like, there's something to be said about people thinking that you're really good-looking, and he is that going for him, too, in a way that isn't advertised like it is with Humberto Carrillo, but people just decided it. You know what I mean? So there are different things that are working for him. I think Andrade is still the one that I'm highest on, but all three of those guys are good. I think that Andrade is a step above them still. And I'm really curious about what Carrillo's orientation is going to be, because I was like, you know, that was just like the super, you know, the revenge thing to do, and now it's looking like he might be a heel, and it's really interesting.
With Humberto?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear he's I didn't have any. There was no ambiguous. Seemed like the baby face in the situation, even with, you know, he got revenge.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand. They, especially when they do it in a video package, they show Andrade giving him the DDT on the concrete near like 2 weeks ago, and then they show last week. And they show Humberto getting revenge on Andrade and DDTing him on the concrete. And they're like, due to his injuries, Andrade's going to be out for a while. Like, wait, this the motherfucker he DDTed the week before came back and DDTed him. He wasn't out. He didn't even miss one show. So, you know, really consistent. But I understand they had to do the injury angle because of the suspension. I think that right there gives you
an idea of how high they are on Andrade. The fact that they would he would fail a PED test or you know a whatever wellness test,
mm-hmm.
and they would keep his title on him and keep him in this and put him in a storyline that's going to you know be right there for him in 31 days when his suspension's up. So it's like that's some Randy Orton level. That's shit, right? Like, damn. Like, who the fuck is Andrade to be getting that that kind of privilege from the company? But yeah, they did it, and that's obvious. So, all
right, let's see who else we got to talk to. This is Craig 111 Skype or international. I think that's Craig. Craig, is that indeed you?
What up? It's me. How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Doing all right.
Doing all right.
I was just calling to see about what you got. I know there's all kinds of stuff going on right now about the lashing thing that's going on tonight, and I want to get your guys' opinions on MJF and. His character, a lot of people have said that anybody can do what he does because they're just allowed to be an asshole. But I think he toes a line really well because he's done some, like, borderline fucked up shit on, like, on those, like, where you get your stuff signed. I forget what they call them. Conventions. Like there's a dude in a wheelchair. What's that?
The meet and greet.
Yeah, meet and greet. Yeah, like there's a dude in a wheelchair he comes up to get, and then he starts, like, talking shit about him in a wheelchair, and he's like, you know, because he sat down the whole time, and he's like, I'm going to do something for this guy I haven't done all day. And he stood up. And stuff like that, but he never seems to step in it. Do you think he can continue to walk that line? Because it's...
As long as he doesn't give a fuck. Because if he steps in it, so what? Ooh, Twitter's going to be
no,
mad.
But I mean step in
fuck.
It in a really, really problematic
what,
way.
What, like the networks
are going to
get involved? Yeah, I don't think he's... I can't say what I think he is or isn't. I don't get the feeling that he... I get the feeling he knows where the line is. And, you know, calling a guy fat or a wheelchair guy, like, hey, why you didn't stand up for me this whole time I was giving my, you know, and snide little joke. The TNT execs aren't going to care about that kind of shit. You started talking shit about people, you know, getting to isms and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think MJF is stupid enough to mess up his money. Like, he don't have a clout to be able to get away with everything. But the stuff that he does get away with, it's just meaningless. It's just petty, childish, you know, nothing, it's not a big deal to me. Like, you know, and again, whoever, the people that get mad at him and say, oh, you went too far, man. It's just fucking stupid idiots on fucking Twitter that don't mean anything in the long run. So, he's doing fine, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, do I find him crass? Yeah. But do I think that anybody could do what he does? No, I absolutely do not.
There's a difference between him and Bubba Dudley from, like, you know, 98.
Exactly. Like, it's not just
call
him
a guy
saying,
faggot and call you suck dick and with no kind of cleverness or it's just flat out insults and not even trying to be creative.
He has an ability to him. Like, he has a cadence, a look. Like, he carries himself in a way that makes that stuff more effective and makes it an act. Like, yeah, I think that he deserves credit for what he's able to do. And I also think that they know he doesn't have to do more. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to find out the next edgy thing that he can say or do. I think he's in his pocket, and I think that's going to work for as long as they need it to work. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope so. He's one of the more fun guys.
As long as he doesn't try to take it to a place where it gets like you can be mean and crass, but that
that's as far as, you know, character like that. That's all you need to do. You can just be a – I mean, Rick Rude didn't have to – you know, he said the same thing to the same audience, you know, over and over again for, you know, 4 or 5 years with WWE TV. And it worked almost every time. Pennsylvania sweat hogs, your Texas sweat hogs, and he's standing in there looking like he did, looks, you know, kissing all women. There's no need to step over the line and go, you know, whatever. I'm not even going to try to give an example.
Right. the one thing I'm worried about with MJF, though, is he's so witty and he's quick. And sometimes when you're quick and witty, just takes one, one brain fart.
I think they'll be smart enough to apologize the right way in his spot, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that machine behind him has seen enough people mess up to where if it comes to that, they'll be able to have an actual genuine apology and continue to do business.
I hope so. Because he's, like, him and Jay White, those guys are, because people say Corbin's a good heel because he gets booed. I don't want to watch Corbin. I want to watch Jay White. I want to watch MJF, not because I like them, because I think they're compelling. So it's not like they're likable heels like an Adam Cole. Like, I like Adam Cole, but I don't like MJF or Jay White, but I want to watch him. What's that?
What's likable about Adam Cole?
I think in the case of, if you talk about what's the difference in likability between him and MJF, Adam Cole backs up how good he says he is. Like, regardless of what he says or him being like
a rat
or an entitled punk, when that bell goes off, he's doing all the things you could ever want him to do.
Right.
And MJF is fine in the ring, not great in the ring, so it's not like, oh, MJF is saying, it's not Kurt Angle cutting a promo on Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, because when he wrestles, everything changes. That, MJF's probably never going to be there. So I understand what Craig's saying.
Yeah.
And my last thing for you guys, I just want to know if you guys did anything cool for Super Bowl.
I did not. I was in the crib and watching a game here by myself.
What did I do? A couple of friends of mine, we got together, we had a little party. You know, I made my wings, as I'm known to do. There may have been some alcohol in a hot tub, but you know, standard shit.
Splendid. Maybe. I just hung out here with Miz and we found out that I had Domino's for the first time, and they never had Domino's up here since, like, yeah, they haven't had Domino's up here since the
80s. But it's just one of those things. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Domino's just ubiquitous in the culture. So.
Yeah, I've missed that Domino. Like, I only get really what delivers around here. I'm not going out of my way to pick up some Domino's.
Mm. Yeah, you won't even go across town to get yourself some decent chicken.
You know what? That was three years ago, Travis. That was 3 years ago. You still remember that shit.
It happened. I don't hear you saying that didn't happen. How dare you?
that's true. I guess that's true. Yeah, but they have a crust. It's a Brooklyn style crust thing, and you can eat it like a kind of like a foldable pizza. I like that part. So we had that for Super Bowl. It was expensive, but it was nice.
I'm confused because pizza's already foldable. So
it's a giant, it's extra large pizza, and they cut it into 6 slices, and the crust is like, I don't know what you, it's different. It's different than.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, when I tell you we made
something that people have been doing for 37 years. Oh yeah, look at that.
We made queso, but instead of ground beef, we had like Jimmy Dean or Owen's spicy sausage. Oh man, smoked it. It was
also.
It was so
cool. I'm sick of Cam getting these props for his mid wings that he makes at every
mid. Oh come on,
damn.
Wild disrespectful. That's like the one thing
the
I could.
Offensive maybe thing I've ever heard you
right?
say.
That's why I said at every event.
Every time you get one, he's like, yeah, it was a high.
Make
it cool. but it was a good
he's
time.
Like,
it really was.
You don't get any next time. That's just...
Right. Yeah, I just fucked up my whole wing
there
game
you
for the next year, probably. So, yeah, cool.
And are you going
there?
To...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you going to the 100th thing for the South Congress?
He better go. He got to be there. He better be there.
Yeah, probably. I think I should have.
Well, cool. It should be cool.
I'm looking forward
that's
to it.
That's trying to figure out exactly, like I've done some planning, but figuring out exactly what we're going to do there is still in the works. But all of a sudden, that's 2 weeks away. And then you have this weekend we're doing we're going to my buddy's live show, and the next weekend is Valentine's, and then I'm going out of town for that wrestling show in San Antonio that's going to have, like, AJ Gray, Myron Reed, Chris Bay, and Jacob Fatu and all of them, and then the show's that week. So I got to budget this weekend time because I really need time to sit down and work out the kinks, but it went okay the last time, so I think this time is going to be really good. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to listening to it, and thanks for taking my call, guys.
Talk to you, Greg. Yeah, and I won't have a giant fucking toothache this time, so I might be able to enjoy myself.
Lord willing, yeah.
A little more. All right, let's keep it moving and talk to you. Let's go to Chicago, where I'll be in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And talk to Boris. Boris, what's happening? Nice to meet you, Boris.
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much.
Hey, I was listening to y'all's show when y'all was discussing the Tessa Blanchard situation.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, you guys covered the way I like to hear people talk about situations like this. And you know, I listen to a lot of other podcasts that talked about it. And I think it was one person in particular that really just surprised me was Tommy Dreamer. Covering for Tessa. I was like, because I didn't know his voice. So to hear this person talk, you know, I was in the middle of the show, like, when he came on. So when I hear him talking, I'm like, who is this guy? And when he finally said his name, I was like, wow. And
yeah.
You know, he's on the show with Mark Henry now. And I was like, I couldn't believe the stuff that was coming out of his mouth. So I wondered, did you hear his take on this?
I didn't hear what he had to say about it. What was kind of the gist of that?
It was on Busted Open Radio, and he was like saying, everybody, you know, says this stuff, everybody make mistakes, and I done all this stuff, and all this. I'm like, dude, you know, it's like, no, this is not that. And he was just making excuses, you know, about who he is and the things he done, and you know, it was just disappointing when I found out it was him.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's tough because I assume they're colleagues just because they're both wrestlers. So I'm just gonna have to assume they've crossed paths
right.
And he knows her. You heard better than me, so I don't think that's a. I think I'm safe in saying that. So it's that thing you have to do when you're defending a friend that or somebody that you really. Like their work, it's always it can be a fine line. If you don't want to come out and be like, yeah, that was, and just be and critical, when your defense can come across as mealy mouthed and you know, not really strong. Or in Tommy's case, you know, like I wanted to talk about and the way you framed it when you said Tommy says like I've done things, and it's like. Like I had an issue with this week, the I guess it was Alvarez or whoever was talking shit about Naomi last week or
mm-hmm.
the spot in the Royal Rumble, and I just had an issue
oh,
with
yeah.
The,
yeah.
the criticism they were getting. Like, why? Like, okay, maybe that was overly harsh calling her a stupid motherfucker, but it's just like. Like, man, if that, I almost go, I'm glad I'm not as popular as I'd like to be, because, like, how many people have I, or women, I don't know what the thing was, maybe, you know,
you got this group of this table full of white guys called this black woman stupid. And I guess the visceral thing of like, hey, that's not, but like, I just go, what, how do I have friends left if this is what the line is? Like, I fucking said some horrendous things about people on this show to my audience. Nobody's ever called me out in that way, retweeted and started a whole thing. And it's, yeah. So again, it's, yeah, when you're defending someone, you either fucks with heavy or respect their work, or in, I guess, Tommy's case, I hope he's not saying, I've said disparaging, but I don't know. I didn't hear it. I'm going through how you're explaining it, Boris. So but the way you explain
right.
that quote of Tommy saying, I've said some things, it's like, oh, have you, Tommy? Like, do we have to have a conversation? You know, what are these things that you said?
If you,
but then I go, shit,
yes,
and
yes.
That's what reminded me of, well, I say stupid shit all the time, but I don't think I say hateful things. Like,
mm-hmm.
And like I
said,
yeah.
You know,
so,
and even to piggyback on that,
yeah.
You know, we're really at a point where, you know, a lot of people who we grew up watching are, you know, really the elder statesmen and are looking to
yes.
be producers and agents and managers. And so in a lot of cases, they're not going to be critical of people that they maybe should be, and they're going to look to find parallels to kind of have that olive branch and that bridge so that when they go to these companies, you know, they're able to say, hey, you know, I understand
but,
this happened. I still want to work with you and help out here. So I get that part of it, too. Like, to me, her, you know, her transgressions were really cut and dry. And on top of that, you know, we tried to, and thank you for saying you appreciated how we covered it, Boris, because
the
thing was, we really wanted to tell the whole story about what was said and then, you know, also talk about, you know, she's been accused before this of being X, Y, and Z, and this is how people feel, and so this is why you have
to believe
people. So it was a lot to it. You know, and my thing, and it's funny, Travis says it, like, how do we still have friends? Well, Travis, one thing we don't do when people have valid criticisms of you is talk about how they're wrong and you're right. You know?
Exactly.
We work through it.
And that's what makes this show so special, you know?
Yeah.
That's what makes this show so special. You guys don't sugarcoat it. And, like, you know, Cam especially, you know, I like another thing.
Wait, no.
Let me,
I get where you're coming from, Boris.
You have a
particular like
way of
in,
saying things.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have a articulate way of saying things that there's common sense, logic, and all that. Just like you broke down to for me the AEW situation at this point. That was covered on the show, too, and it made me look at AEW another way, too, about, you know, since y'all hired Billy Gunn's son, so now that kind of like no excuses for it. Why can't nobody else be hired, you know, why some more people? See, and I'm like, I didn't see that part until I heard it through you guys, and I just look at, you know, I look at it through people that just, you know, don't sugarcoat it for me. If the company ain't doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, or you guys see that it should be more diversity in the way of diversity and not just the word, you know what I'm saying? I like that you guys really hold these companies to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And,
if you like something, you like
it. And that was the biggest thing. Not just that we think they should have it, but like you said, when an Austin Gunn shows up, you know, it shows that maybe you're not doing your due diligence. And then when a situation happens with, like, a Tessa Blanchard, you know, you automatically look to, or a Jim Cornette, you look to, well, if you had the right people in place, we wouldn't be talking about these things. So they all do kind of work typically, absolutely. And just I appreciate you appreciating our attention to detail and wanting to cover things from front to back. So thank you, Boris.
Yes, and I didn't see it, but now I'm gonna look for it. The list of people and one dinosaur. Thank you very much.
and
then
also
we got
the difference
of
appreciating the difference of opinion. Wait, what?
Yeah, and we got a Taurus now on the other company got a Taurus now, a full Taurus. I was like, wow. So now we're getting more animals than us. You know, so, but well, at least I can enjoy the Japanese product before it comes Americanized. You know,
Boris already like, he already dreading. Japan, Bobby.
Yeah, they're gonna saturate his product.
But they've been asked that question, you know. Some of them, you know, I'm sure they've been asked that question, you know, because you can see the difference. I watched the tag team champions, right? Destiny. They just got the belts back, and I was just looking at them and thinking, how would the Usos be over here? The Usos and Roman Reigns, the person that I, you know, don't really like. I said Roman Reigns would not be the Roman Reigns of WWE if he was outside the company. I see him as like one of them. I think he's that cool if he was just not in this product. You know what I'm saying? I believe if he wasn't in this product, he would be a different person.
That probably got to like, be one of the more frustrating things. Like John Cena, for, you know, when he first showed up, maybe not first showed up, but certainly the first year of the Dr. Thugonomics John Cena, I was a giant fan, right? And then the moment he got his first, like, major merch and stopped wearing the jerseys and stuff, you kind of like, oh, I kind of saw what was about to happen. Like, okay, he's about to be their merch whore, and he was for the next 10 years. You know, I mean, make them two gobs of money and more power to them, him, and the company. But it's a matter of context. Like, it is a matter of if he was just presented in a different light, same person, same personality is in there. It's just being directed in a different way. Like Roman Reigns, if he was over in Japan, would probably still become an international star. Like if they marketed him correctly and all that, they could still have, you know, what WWE thinks they, you know, what they have in him. They could, and he would, and that crowd, that audience would appreciate him because he would just be presented differently. He would wrestle differently. His opponents would be different. The angles would be paced differently. All that. So I mean, talent is talent. We all like to see Roman Reigns as a guy that we all look at and go, yeah, he could draw money on top. It's just a matter of who's in the creative position doing the stuff, and you know, that's the conundrum.
You know, I was actually thinking that Rhea, you know, on top of that, I was actually thinking Rhea was gonna beat Charlotte, and they're really trying to, you know, elevate NXT, you know, because they wanted to be a solid product against AEW. And then I list the ways, so I was like, oh shit. That ain't what it is. Nothing happened. I'm serious. I really hyped myself. I said, like, man, they shouldn't have started.
Why?
There's no way.
What did Wade say?
There's no way. They broke it down where is in that, you know, Charlotte going to go down there and they didn't say who would win yet, but it was like, if Charlotte go down there, it elevates NXT just Charlotte being there and stuff. It's like, but that means she got to beat Rhea or something like that. And they said, this due to the fact she's going to challenge someone that's liked. That means that Charlotte going to be a full heel, you know, which is it's not been possible for her to be full heel on the main roster, but going down there, she's going to be a full heel. So I was like, that means she can possibly beat this woman somehow.
No,
how they going to get out of
this? I mean, the finish aside from the eventual match, I think having Rhea made the challenge. So as I said earlier, that's a big difference. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Rhea made the challenge. They didn't have Charlotte go down there or stand there in the middle of Raw and go, I'm calling out the NXT, whatever, they would confuse themselves about that. She's NXT champion, NXT women's champion. Just, and that's okay. And Boris, I'm going to need to talk to Cam about this. So, but thanks for the call. Why is... Because you were like saying it's a good idea, it's a progressive idea. I think that's all you're saying, kind of hinting at dropping the women in certain titles. are, but that's how we distinguish things. Like,
I think they already went back to
the women's long jump. They don't just say it's the long jump featuring Sonya and fucking Danielle.
Yeah.
No, it's the women's
already went back to it. I think that came and went, as a matter of fact.
Oh, the first time they introduced her as the NXT champion. And then the announcers, so maybe you're right, somebody might have gotten in their ear. Later, they said NXT women's champion. But I was very confused.
Let me look at the... it's women's champion again.
Deal. I understood Becky's promo or her sentiment when she's like, you know, people still say there is already a women's match on the card, and that's still a prevailing idea. It's like, is it though? Because it's as even as y'all feel about Cornette one way, and I certainly ask my guy, but god damn, he's like, another girls' match. Like, so the fuck what, Jim? It was a good match. Like, the idea that you had four women's matches and six men's matches, that's just keeping the numbers round at 10, that's, like, if you have the talent, you got the talent. This isn't 2008 when you're trying to have four goddamn women's matches on this one show. That wouldn't work. But you have the talent. It's like, WWE in this instance, they've gone out of their way in the last 2 years to be like, fine, we're going to present them in a relatively, I guess occasionally with some of the women. But the typical main event level women don't get the bullshit boyfriend-girlfriend storylines, the lovers, the infatuation stuff. That's like Mandy and lower card.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, and just like they do the men. Men get those lower tier, men get bullshit, stupid fucking triangle fucking storyline. So it seemed like it was an issue I don't know how I'm trying to phrase it. It wasn't an issue, it was something looking for an issue.
Is this a thing? And I mean, to me, and I think like my point was like, if one's called the women's title, the other should be called the men's title. Like,
yeah, I don't,
because
an argument I could be like, well, yeah, that's
yeah,
when people say female in general conversation, females, blah blah blah, like that is demeaning because
people don't say males to the point where males sounds even dumber when somebody says it because it feels like they really forced it into conversation, like it's not even like. To be an insult or a slight. It's literally just to say, I presented the other half of this. Because nobody says it. And when you do say it, it sounds
bitches,
so weird.
Because that's how I read it. And you're just trying to not say bitches. It's just like,
exactly. It's like saying urban. They went back to it. I don't have a problem with it. And it could very well be like, hey, Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Bianca Belair and Naomi came up to us and said, hey, this is going to be confusing to people. We want to be able to market this. We like how it sounds. And, like, you know, the whole Cat Grant Supergirl thing and they're not wanting to be Superwoman. You know, it could just be that. It could explain away that fast. But, yeah, they're back to it, and I don't think anybody's voiced a real problem with them going back to it. Tested the waters, didn't work out right away. Maybe it changes down the line, maybe it doesn't. I still think, though, Travis, that even if we're not talking about NXT, the Raw women's title should just be the Raw title, and the SmackDown women's title should just be the SmackDown title, because there aren't other Raw or SmackDown titles.
It's Universal and WWE, sure. Okay.
Exactly. Like, so,
but we
so,
do
yeah,
colloquially call. I do you call it the Universal title, or when you're the shorthand, you say, you know, the Raw title, Raw Championship, whatever. Sometimes.
I call them the WWE and Universal when I have to talk about them.
Okay. All right. We didn't have. Let me do one more last check. Nope, we didn't get any emails, non-VIP this week. So, and
our good pal in down south in Georgia dropped off a little bit ago. So we're not going to get a derail segment. So yeah, anything, any last, anything to wrap this
up? Not really. Enjoy SmackDown this week, guys, and tell us what you saw, because we won't be watching it. But no, outside of that, I'm trying to think if anything's like really coming up. No, the San Antonio show I'm going to won't be until after next week's show. So no, everybody have a great week.
Are you going down there specifically for that show? Like you're going to make a San Antonio weekend because
that's
of
my
that
answer.
Show? Or you...
It just happens to be the day after Valentine's Day where you take the other girl out. But yeah, it's convenient. It should be fun.
Any notable women going to be on that card?
Who is it? It's Roxy and who is she facing? Because I talked to the promoter about it, so it should be a pretty cool match. I was trying to interview both of them before the match jumped off. Give me just 1 second, I'll have it.
Yeah.
It's Roxy and Alex Gracia is their women's match that they're having, but should be a good card. It's, yeah, Jacob Fatu, Cheeseburger and Nick Gage, Chris Bay versus Myron Reed. They're going to have Danhausen on one side and Suicide on the other. And then they have a six-man tag with Jake Something, Kurt Stallion, my man AJ Gray. So, yeah, it should be just – it's a really strong card, up and down.
He's a guy that immediately caught my eye. Jake Something, it was a clip Steve shared in the group chat when he does his pile driver move. Like he's got a presence about him. And if he was on a roster with if he was on an NXT roster, he'd be one of the giants. He'd be Keith Lee and Dijakovic and Priest, and Jake Something would be like that other guy that's, because he's 6'6", 265 on the roster. Got a lot of guys that are 5'10". But
I don't know when
something.
Those three are going to be old, but I'll watch Keith Lee and Dijak and Priest. I'll watch those guys all the time. And then good on Jordan Devlin. It's been a while. He's been kind of toiling away in NXT UK, and now he's going to be at Full Sail this week. So good on him. That looks like a strong show this week. So, yeah.
Indeed. All right. So, yeah, that's it for us this week. Free folks, the ride ends here. We'll be back next week, same time, same Blog Talk Radio channel. Get at us then. In the meantime, send us a tweet or an email or whatever. Slide in our DMs if need be. VIP folks, stay tuned. Click over. Rich and I'll be by for another hour's worth of content. I think we're going to review the first two issues of Killadelphia if I get to them. So we'll see if I can read these two issues in the next couple hours while NXT is on. So, yeah, until then, thanks, everybody, for your time and your calls and your tweets and your emails. Thanks, Cam, for your co-hosting ship and your energy. We'll talk to you all next week. That's Cam. I'm Trav. We out.